silent and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion of that item is ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except for Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphone works as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence, flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red as you lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on any issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, C for a comment, P if you wish to propose, S if you wish to second, and please refrain from making any other comment using instant messaging. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Now, have we any apologies?
Yes, sure. We have apologies from Councillor McGuinness and Brennan.
Okay. Any declarations of interest? Is there a question? No? Are you all right? No. Okay. Now, the action sheets, following pages are page 15 and page 16. Any issues, any comments? No. Okay. Now, can I get a proposer and a seconder, please?
Proposer.
Second? Second. Councillor Finn, second. Now, item four, notion about sharing financial information with other councils regarding climate change. And Sinead's going to read that.
Thank you, Chair. So this paper is for decision and the purpose of the report is to facilitate discussion on the notice of motion received from Councillor Enright as deferred from the Council meeting of the 13th of January 2025 and the motion is as outlined in section 1.2 of the report. The report is taken as read and the recommendations is that members are asked to consider the report and note the following. Council's governance arrangements in relation to sustainability and climate change, the Council's participation in forums to enable sharing of information and best practice, and the Council's participation in regional procurement programmes to maximise return. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Can I get a proposal? Councillor Enright, you want to come in?
I just want to thank management for their report. I'd also like to propose that maybe management look into the two documents I was highlighting earlier. One in particular where our council had a report saying it would make a lot of money from converting its mothballed municipal dumps into solar farms, because I know there's 18 other mothballed municipal dumps across Northern Ireland also connected to the grid, which I think it would be useful to share that information that we've discovered with other councils. If that document was heard in committees, we're not able to share it at the moment. But if it could be looked at, if we could do a précis, or if we do a summary, or maybe even just hear it out of committee, because there was no commercial data in it, it was simply heard in committee, it would be very useful, and other councils could benefit from our learning. Any chance I could suggest that maybe management look into this and come back to us at a later meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Through the chair, I just want to reiterate that reports that have matters that relate to financial or business affairs and that are held in closed session are not permitted to be published. So I just wanted to reiterate that. Thank you.
Could we look into doing a version of it that's not commercially suspect?
I can review the report and come back through the committee.
Need to propose this? Yeah, sorry, Chair. Any matters referred to resources to that not be referred to the SPNR committee?
So the papers in themselves were held or were tabled at the S&E committee. So is there any change in terms of the procedures around closed session, that's all legislatively laid out. So the reports themselves were tabled at S&E in closed session. So the reports as they were presented at committee are not permitted to be published.
So just a clarity on what Councillor Henry is proposing then, just if you would mind.
So what I'm suggesting is that we look at the document again and try and see if there's some way we can trace this document or take out commercially sensitive information. And basically, it was essentially reiterating the numbers that I put into my own documents, proposing it in the first place and confirming essentially that I was right. There was no bids. There was no commercial information associated with it, but it was heard in committee, so therefore we can't publish it. So what I'm suggesting is that management have a look at it and see is there some way they can trace this or do it in such a way, chop the document down, summarise it, so that we can share it with councils like Mid Ulster, Derry and Strabane and Fermanagh, all of whom have mothballed municipal dumps who could also benefit in a similar way to ourselves were they to go down this road.
I suppose just through the chair, I'm not sure of the value of the report with the financial information removed. I just wanted to make that point.
Well, we could look at it, and if it proved to be impossible to find any administrative solution, then fair enough, that could be reported back to the committee. But it's not beyond the ken of human beings to come up with a way of phrasing something.
Okay, then we need a proposer then, and a seconder. Second by Councillor Young. Go back to committee. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so I need a proposer and a seconder now for the item 4. Propose your own motion. Yeah. Anybody second? Second, yeah. Councillor Young, second. All right, we're going to move on to item 5, notion of motion, vital role of trees. And I'm going to bring in Councillor Truesdale. Sorry, I have to go through the report first. One second.
Thank you, Chair. So this report is for decision, and the purpose of this report is to facilitate discussion on the notice of motion received from Councillor Truesdale as deferred from the Council meeting of the 13th of January 2025 and as set out in section 1.2 of the report. The report is taken as read and members are asked to consider the report and note the following. The Council continues to implement actions within the biodiversity strategy and tree strategy, continue to work with local community groups, businesses and stakeholders on creation of new woodlands across the district, and continue to raise awareness of sustainability and biodiversity issues at council events and workshops. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Truesdale, you can read the motion, but No. Right, okay. Okay, if you want to talk to the motion, Councillor Truesdale, but anybody in the chamber then will be speaking before you, okay?
Do you need me to read it again then? No?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the comprehensive officer paper. It really laid out some shocking statistics about the district's woodland cover or lack of, and Northern Ireland's lack of tree coverage in general. So this motion had three asks. One was to commit to raising awareness among residents about the benefits of trees. Two was actively support efforts to plant and protect the right trees in the right places for the right reasons. And three was to commit to explore how we can educate and raise awareness of trees. So the motion speaks to the vital role of trees in the fight against climate change and their value in enhancing health and well-being of people and communities, and that's recognised in the paper, and it's also recognised within the biodiversity strategy. However, at the October 23rd S&E meeting, the tree strategy was only for noting, and it was only in draft form. So the contents of it are good, but they're unfinished, and even if and even the draft version needs updated now too. So I guess my question would be, how close are we to a final signing off on a final version of the tree strategy? Because I'm very aware that other councils are pushing ahead much quicker with this. I also feel that within the draft, we need to make a note that tree planting is very good in the right places, but often it's better to allow widening for natural regeneration to spread out the existing suitable woodland, where mixed age, mixed species woodland with ground fauna, scrub and understory vegetation is the desired outcome. So I believe that the Forest Service and Warren Heritage Trust, for example, should have a place within the tree strategy as we move towards more low impact silviculture systems and continuous cover forestry with thinning rather than clear felling where possible. I'd also like to see more nature-based concept solutions such as Belfast City Council are rolling out. And given this district's propensity for flooding and coastal erosion, I feel that this is very crucial to do on council land. So the biodiversity strategy, as I said, it's very good. Five key themes, one of which is trees and woodland. The tree nursery at Castlewellan is a fantastic resource, and it's great to see the educational use of the area. However, you are bringing a lot of people into an area not used to high footfall, so there's got to be travelling alongside that mitigations in order to preserve the asset. And that, of course, begins with education and, if needs be, enforcement of the fragility of the area. With regards to continue raising awareness of sustainability and biodiversity at council events, the only thing that I would really like to be noted is that during these events and with schools and when you're giving out free packets of seeds and free the seed bombs, that we use native seeds, not bought seeds from other parts of the United Kingdom, but these are native seeds, and we're really fortunate to have the expertise and guidance of True Harvest Seeds to keep us all right with that. So finally, the possibilities within the district. To me, this motion feeds into active health of active healthy communities and overall well-being. So, you know, we have things that we could develop, such as a tree theme around Castlewellan Treetop Walk, if it goes ahead, the Walled Garden, the Wider Arboretum, Shimna River Walk in Kilbroney. We have so many individual outstanding trees in the district, the Donard Park Oaks, Newcastle Promenade Elm. All could be part of a tree trail with ecological and historical information, same as Kilbroney. If managed and presented properly, these could separately and collectively be a great attraction and resource for visitors and local people. So finally, old trees must be rigorously protected, and we have seen the devastation of the recent storm. Old trees have a century or two head start on anything that we can plant today, and we are now severely on the back foot with the devastation that we've all been a part of. We all know trees are vital for biodiversity, carbon storage and landscape, but when they do eventually fall or die, they continue to create habitats for a myriad of plants, fungus and creatures. So tree protection for new trees, replanting trees, planting trees and old trees is what the motion speaks to. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, listen, I'm happy to second the recommendations that are proposing, if needs be, unless one of, you know, Councillor Tuesday's colleagues want to propose, but I'm happy to second it. But I suppose I was going to mention about the recent storm and the devastation that had on our local parks, not just obviously in our own district, but across Northern Ireland. And there's obviously a challenge because of that in terms of restoring those areas, some of the scenes that we've seen have been absolutely devastating, and particularly for those that have no avail of the woodlands and the parks that we have on a regular basis. I think as a council we do engage well on these types of issues. I mean, I suppose the question I want to ask, we've mentioned about the 10,000 free trees that we've given out over the last just around 10 years now, obviously, so going by the figures there, is in terms of that figure, is there a way of enhancing that? I'm conscious that obviously from a woodland cover point of view, we're well behind other areas in Europe, as an example, although that's already referenced in the report. But in terms of those 10,000 trees, is there a way, how did we establish that figure of 10,000? Was that through donations, or how was that achieved? Is there ways that we can, from our own point of view, through the tree strategy that obviously been worked on at this moment in time, but is there a way that we can look to play our own role in increasing that further, whether it be doubling it or tripling it or whatever way we can to try and encourage the community? Because I see whenever you share this information, there seems to be a high uptake in terms of people showing an interest in getting the trees. Is there a way that we can increase that further? How was that figure of 10,000, I suppose, achieved over this last 10 years? Was it through council ourselves, or was it through donations, through environmental organisations or charities or whatever it may be? Because there's different schemes, even the recent Jubilee, for instance, there was a tree planting scheme encouraged as part of that there. So I suppose just to get a bit of information on that too, I suppose how we can improve ways that we provide tree planting opportunities to the community at large.
Yeah. Firstly, just thank you so much to Councillor Truesdale for bringing this motion forward, because I think it is, and I think everybody across the district is aware of the fact that we live in a really beautiful area, and it is shocking that Northern Ireland's tree coverage is so low. I knew that actually before from something else that I'd looked at, and I really couldn't believe that it was because we live in such a beautiful area. It is so shocking that we are lacking in trees, and I think particularly following on from the storm, I wonder if there's a potential that we as a committee can maybe ask, and I'm not sure whether it's something that is currently being engaged on, but that we maybe write to other councils who are also impacted, because I know at the weekend I have been in both Cabrony Park and Slieve Gullion, and they really are absolutely decimated, and that's not counting Castle Whelan and other forest parks across the district. But I just think, is it worth us potentially reaching out to other councils and the Agriculture Minister to write and ask, is there anything that is going to be put in place in terms of funding or strategy to help kind of mitigate from the worst of what has happened from the storm, and to help rebuild the trees that we've lost? Because I know obviously there are trees that are hundreds of years of age that have fallen, and it's devastating to see, but is there potentially we can look at the Minister maybe funding a native trees planting strategy or something else that we can help to mitigate from the loss that the district and our parks have suffered. But aside from that, I think it's so important, and I'm really, really pleased to support the motion that Councillor Truesdale has brought this evening.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I suppose firstly in relation to the tree strategy itself, so as Councillor Truesdale said, it was brought through committee in October 2023 and in a draft form for Nottingham. So what I will do is bring back through the committee the final version of the strategy for approval. I would need to just come back through the committee to check to see that it goes through to SPNR for approval before that. So, and we can feed back on some of the questions that have come through here, particularly around the different schemes that have been available and future schemes that will be available, and that is something that's been considered by the sustainability section. So we've got cross working within the SNE Directorate, both from the sustainability section and from the grounds and maintenance section, in terms of the work that's done around trees and tree planting within the district and within the district facilities. Certainly the points that have been made around the impact of the storms, as has been mentioned both by Councillor Taylor and Councillor Finn, the impacts have been devastating in the forest parks, and in terms then of writing to other councils impacting the minister, have we got a proposal there?
I've got to say, I made the initial proposal to accept the recommendations, but Councillor Finn has made a very pertinent point in terms of approaching the Agriculture and Environment Minister about a potential scheme that obviously would help assist with the impact of the storm. And I understand the proposal to the motion is a wider strategy, but the reality is the storm has had a major impact and it's been a setback for us in this regard. So if we could look at getting some support for local councils to try and recover, and it'll take obviously years to do that, but just we'll have to start somewhere, and if we can get some support to do that, I'm happy to include as part of that proposal for the recommendations, to include that we do communicate with the minister on Councillor Finn's suggestion.
Yeah, are you clear on the proposal? So just if we can have some clarity for the record on the proposal.
No, it was just a proposal that we write to the Minister for Agriculture to ask, are there going to be any supports put in place for areas that have been particularly impacted by the damage of Storm Eowyn in relation to replacing the trees that have been lost, and also if we can write to other councils to potentially support that have also been impacted. And I'm happy if Councillor Taylor wants to second that proposal, if he's happy to.
And I don't want to get into an argument, propose or second. It's just because I had proposed the initial recommendations. If that needed to be an amendment, in addition to that, that's. But listen, if you want to propose and say second, that's fair enough.
Okay, so we've got the recommendations of the report that are proposed by Councillor Taylor. So, and we've an additional proposal from Councillor Finn that's been seconded by Councillor Taylor. So, can I have a sec?
Councillor Taylor, do you want to come back in? Just to say thank you, Councillor Finn. That's a great recommendation. And yes, Councillor Taylor, absolutely spot on. Time is of the essence here. So sooner that those letters go away, the better. So thank you both for your contribution. And thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. Just more or less, a lot of the points have been raised by Councillor Finn and others. This was the question I was going to ask, but I'm fully supportive of the recommendations that have been put forward at tonight's meeting. So, the recommendations, it's a good motion as well.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Okay. Item 6, revision of sustainability charges for financial year with Sinead.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision. The purpose of the report is to seek approval from committee in relation to the charges applied by the Environment Section for various supplies and services. The report presents the annual review of the scale of charges for 25-26, which are proposed to take effect from the 1st of April 2025. To the 31st of March 2026. Paper covers waste charges and environmental health charges in relation to ship sanitation section charges. I would like to highlight that the fees highlighted in Appendix 1 are the same as 2024-25. The only thing that's changed in the current year is the ship sanitation inspection charges, which were in line with other UK ports. Therefore, members are asked to approve the proposed waste management services scales charge for 25-26 as set out in the appendix in the report. Thank you.
Okay, can I get a proposer and a seconder?
Proposed.
Is that Councillor Campbell proposed and Councillor Jackson second. Thank you. Item 6, application for bus shelter at Hilltown Road, Newry. Gail, please.
Thank you, Chair. purpose of this report is to seek approval from elected members for their approval to reinstate a bus shelter at Newry Road, Darrellachie, Newry. Kiltown Road. Request has been received from Councillor Murphy and the proposed location is detailed within Appendix 1 of this report. The original bus shelter was destroyed by a vehicle collision in 2021 and never replaced due to safety concerns with its original location. It was decided to seek an alternative location. In line with Council policy, a consultation process took place with no objections received. It is recommended to note the contents of the report and agree to the installation of a new bus shelter at Hilltown Road, Darrellachie, Newry. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Hart.
Happy to accept the officer's recommendation on the new bus shelter at the Hilltown Road, Newry.
Thank you. Councillor Fagan.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, more than happy to second that one. And if it's okay, just to raise something off the back of that, it is related. It's about a bus shelter that was damaged in Camla, the junction of Sturgeon Bray and the Ballinleck Road. I had been in touch with TransLink about it and about getting it repaired, but they've come back to me saying that it's owned and responsibility of the council. Would it be possible for officers to have we look into that and see if we can get that fixed? Thank you.
Yes, that's fine. Yeah. I'll look into that and get back to you, Councillor.
Thank you. Can we get a second to that? Now, item 8 is CFI consultation on active travel, and Eamon's going to read that.
Thank you, Chair. So the purpose of this report is to seek. This report is to seek Sustainability and Environment Committee approval of the attached consultation response, which is due to be submitted on behalf of the Council by the 28th of February. So the consultation relates to Northern Ireland's active travel delivery plan, which will set out the Department of Infrastructure's plans for developing and transforming the active travel infrastructure over the next 10 years and beyond. So the plan is about delivering a bold transformation for our communities and will create the foundations of a more active, sustainable transport system, tackling the climate crisis and providing safe and healthy travel options for all our citizens. There's lots of background information in the paper. I'm just going to skip ahead to where the plan focuses. An important point is the plan focuses on priority routes in urban settlements. And the greatest potential for this modal shift is in urban areas with higher population numbers. So for the purpose of this plan, DFI are using the NISRA definition of urban areas as those with a population of over 5,000. So 5,000 people. So a draft response has been provided by Newry Moreland Down District Council as provided in Appendix 1. The response broadly agrees with the aims of the DFI Active Travel Delivery Plan. However, it does express some reservations about the planned extent of development over the next 10 years, which, if this is to be truly transformational, seems rather unambitious. The Council is expressing some concern about the plan, including excluding important smaller villages and settlements, in particular in rural areas, due to the 5,000 population limit used, and seeks reassurance that these smaller settlements will also be given adequate active travel infrastructure, particularly where there are rural schools and other rural amenities and meeting places. Active travel infrastructure within urban areas is vital, and the plan focuses on this, but it would be good to see a similar focus on connectivity between towns and villages within the district and with neighbouring districts to ensure safe modes of travelling further afield. And it's also welcome to see the promise of a renewed programme of greenways development over the next 10 years, which will help with this connectivity between settlements for work, schools, amenities and leisure tourism. So as well as the development of infrastructure, which is vital and welcome, there also needs to be a plan on how to finance ongoing maintenance and repairs to ensure the new enhanced network remains at a good, safe and acceptable level for use for the public. There are further comments included for your consideration in the consultation response and some appendices with maps and the actual draft plan itself, and this is all available online as well. And please note that the deadline for consultation is the 20th of February, and as the submission deadline falls before the next full council meeting, the submission will be made with the caveat that it is subject to review by council, so a response can be retracted or changes can be made if required.
Thank you, Eamon. Any questions? Can I get a... Sorry, Councillor Young.
Right, thanks, Chair. I have three questions, if that's okay. Do you want them all together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So this paper references the Council's Active Travel Master Plan of 2019, which didn't contain anything about park and ride facilities in Newcastle, but speaks to strengthening Newcastle's reputation as a tourism destination, and with particular focus on the town's promenade. The document also recognised the certain areas in the town that are dominated by vehicle congestion and proposes several realm improvements in several locations, for example, making the Shimna Road and the Bryansford Road two-way and pedestrianising the main street, which makes total sense. So why does this, pardon me, why does this new proposal put park and ride the inn when other towns were mentioned in the 2019 Master Plan for park and ride, but not Newcastle? That's the first question. The second question is, are we able to see the park and ride usage data in Newcastle outside of the Gulf for council-run events in the last 5 years, or any data from any time a park and ride has been used in Newcastle? And the third question is, historically, people in Northern Ireland don't use park and ride other than to get to city centres. In Newcastle, they will, however, walk, and the health and wellbeing strategy shows the reflective data, so the 2019 Master Plan makes so much more sense than this new submission. In Newcastle, there's already the TransLink busy buses running through the tourist season, as well as private businesses servicing the mountain hikers all year round. Have you surveyed how this draft will impact upon their businesses? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, okay.
Apologies. Thank you, Councillor Young, and through the Chair. I'll try and respond to some of these questions. Some of them would be outside my remit, but the 2019 Active Travel Master Plan has been submitted and discussed with EFI ongoing with their Active Travel Unit. So we have provided quite a lot of information, including the Master Plan and the routes that were discussed in that. Some of those, the pedestrianisation and the two-way scheme, it's a bigger thing than Active Travel because it involves traffic management within road service and EFI. So that would be something that the council would have an input into with DFI, but it would ultimately be a decision to do with traffic management. So we have made sure that all of that information and all of those routes were given to DFI already as part of the consultation. The latest response is limited because the questions that are asked by the consultation online are limited. So it's limited what we can actually respond to on that online consultation. The park and ride scheme in Newcastle has been used. There's been a site used in Newcastle for some of the events, and that proposal, the park and ride proposal, is supposed to link into not just buses carrying people into the town, but also like an active travel hub, which would bring allow people to cycle and walk from that park and ride site. And the park and ride site hasn't been decided. There's ongoing discussions with DFI and TransLink about that, so I don't know what the outcome of those will be. That's another department within council that's working on that. I've been involved with the active travel side of that, and I wouldn't have any data on the park and ride usage outside of the Gulf. I'm not sure if ERT might have that information, but I don't know who has that information. So I think that's as far as I can answer from an active travel side of things, because I'm not really involved with putting the park and ride scheme in. I mean, there's possible plans for other park and ride schemes that I've seen, as just from talking to road service and DFI, from our active travel links that would link into park and ride things, possibly in Warren Point. But again, that's only under discussion at the minute with DFI, and council would hopefully have an input into that as well. That's just the extent of my knowledge about it, sorry.
Now, can I get a proposal in a seconder, please?
Thoughts?
Councillor Campbell, and second. Councillor Enright, yeah. I don't think they'll get the name out. Now, item 9 is on-street residential charge point scheme. It's an update, and Eamon's going to read it out.
Okay, so the purpose of this is to seek approval from committee to continue to proceed with the on-street residential charge point scheme known as the ORCS EV Charger project, following the successful appointment of a charge point operator, which was appointed by a joint procurement process led by Derry City and Strabane District Council. So members will be aware, hopefully, that Council is part of a consortium to appoint a charge point operator for the provision, installation, operation and maintenance of electric vehicle charge points in 9 council areas. The only 2 councils excluded are Belfast City Council and Causeway Coast and Glen, so there's a list given in the paper. Funding was successfully achieved from the Office for Zero Emission Vehicles and 25% match funding from the Department for Infrastructure. So the procurement process to appoint a charge point operator was led by Derry City and Strabane District Council's procurement team. And a tender procurement exercise was undertaken, and an operator has been a successful bidder was appointed. The successful bidder is Weave.ie Limited. So a contract will be put in place, and within that contract, there's an option within that the successful bidder can invest in the scheme further, which means that there could be an increase in the number of charge points that some of the councils may get. And the charge points will be located in a range of locations that are in close proximity to a residential area, as the aim of the scheme is to benefit homes without driveways or off-street parking who won't have access to chargers. The proposed list of locations has already been made known to committee previously, but it's listed again there. And we are getting 18 locations, they're dual chargers, so that's 36 chargers. And most of those are in council car parks. And I think we're getting the most number of chargers from any council in the consortium. So participating councils now need to give approval to confirm that they're prepared to continue to move forward with the ORCS project following appointment of the charge point operator.
Thank you. Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Emma, for the report. I just want to give a bit of clarity on it. The relocation from the Scott Street car park to Kennedy Square, what was the rationale behind that? Because Kennedy Square is a built-up residential area, and I know the area well. There's not many electric cars in that area. Would it not be more beneficial to have it in the council car park, which is directly, you know, close proximity to it? You know, just the benefit of local knowledge, I know if you did the EV charging point within that housing development, it's not really going to be utilised that much, whereas I'd say a greater benefit of being within a council facility, which is, again, let's say, within close proximity.
Great to have that local knowledge. Thank you for your input. These were chosen before I was in post, so I have to hold my hands up and say I can check that out for you. There was obviously some rationale, and there was quite a bit of work went into the research and where to put these. But we will take that on board. At this stage, there might not be a chance to change some of the locations, but there may be an opportunity for example, some of these may not be able to get a NIE supply, or there may be other reasons where we can look at another locations. I can certainly take on board your comments when we're doing those final discussions with the charge point operator.
I certainly support Philip and what he was saying about that. Solway is only a very short distance away from Kennedy Square. But I would say, look, we've got almost 200 car parks. We've got, to the best of my estimate, we don't have an accurate count of 11,000 odd parking spots across the district. And about 50 of these car parks are town centre car parks that we got from the department, which is where really people want to charge their cars. And virtually every village has a town centre car park managed by us. I just like clarity that we've worked out with the department that we can actually use those car parks as well. And we aren't restricted just to using our own legacy car parks, because clearly those town centre car parks are the ones where we're going to make the most money as a council. There's about 47% of the population of the district that doesn't have a front garden, so they won't be able to charge their own cars in their front gardens. They're living in terraced houses or town centre housing. So when we finally transition to an electric-only fleet of cars within the next 10 years, they'll be in trouble. Could I just say that this is a huge opportunity for us, because the estimated turnover for charging cars in our district would be about two-thirds that of the diesel and petrol cost. So it'll run to about £65 million a year. And were we as a council controlling all the town centre car parks, even to get 2 or 3% of that, or even a fraction of the share of 2 or 3% of that, following a similar sort of scheme to this scheme, it would be a very lucrative source of funds for council from the green economy. So I suppose that the key asks there are just to make sure that we can use the ex-department car parks that we manage but don't own, because they're the key ones that we need. To encourage you to get on with the scheme, because it's going to be a good earner for our council going forward. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. The whole plan was to get Orcs project over the line, because it was quite a challenge. It was the first time the council's really looked at that model. It's successful so far and should be hopefully completed. We also had the Faster project, which was the rapid chargers, which went in at some of our car parks as well. And we are in the process of ESB upgrading their EV chargers as well. The next step would be to look at how we can use those other car parks and what the strategy would be for that. We don't know what that is yet, so council would have to look at that and agree on a strategy on a way forward.
And just to add to the point, the question in relation to permission to use the car parks, it is noted in 2.7 of the report that the locations are subject to DFI approval and the connection applications to the NIE networks. I do note the figures that have been provided there by Councillor Enright in terms of the estimated savings within a year of £65 million. And I suppose it would be helpful from an officer point of view just to have the information to validate those figures. Thank you.
Just that River Street car park in Uri, that would be one of our traditional areas where cars park from 6 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock in the evening for with our commuters who work in the south. This is one of two car parks that they use, so you'd only be able to really use it to charge your car on Saturday or Sunday.
Can I just clarify my £65 million figure? That's the figure for the total amount of electricity, the value of the total amount of electricity that would be required to charge a fleet of cars in our district over the course of a year. I'm not suggesting that our council will get all of that. What I'm suggesting is if we can only get 2 or 3% of that, or 4% of that, it would be very useful as an income for council.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. If I just come back there about the River Street car park, thank you very much, Councillor Hart, for that information. It's good, again, to have that local knowledge, and we'll certainly take that on board. There hopefully will be ways of enforcing keeping the spaces clear for the EV charging as well. So look at that.
Can I get a proposal and a seconder, please? Councillor Enright proposed and Councillor Campbell second.
Okay.
Thank you. Nice. Item 10, refuge collection and HRC arrangements for public holidays. Sinead.
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of this report is for decision. It's to seek in
restriction approval from committee for the provision of public holidays applying to the 25-26 financial year. Public holidays have been reviewed alongside the operational provision for refuse collection services and household recycling centres. These public holidays and the appropriate provisions are laid out in Appendix 1, with those key dates over Christmas and New Year highlighted in the report in Section 2.1. I would like to highlight that a PR campaign will be rolled out to highlight to residents that the bin collection calendars are available to easily access and download and the importance of recycling, but also that residents who wish to have a paper copy will be able to print their bin collection calendar from the Council's website or request a copy to be emailed or printed and posted. Members are asked to approve the alternative refuse collection services and opening arrangements for our household recycling centres on public holidays, applying to the 25-26 financial year.
Can I get a proposal in a second? Oh, Councillor Finn?
Yeah, no, just to say that I'm happy to propose them, and I really welcome the PR campaign that's going to be rolled out, because I know we've previously talked about the issues that there were last year. Probably a little bit early for me to say, can we get those as soon as they come out, given that we have kind of 10 months, but just if we could get them as soon, because I think it was maybe the people didn't know and things like that, so anything that we can do to support people knowing, but we've got plenty of time.
I suppose just talking about Christmas, can't believe it's saying it, but we are going to have stickers on the bins, just as an extra method of advising our residents of those pre-Christmas collections. After Christmas collections. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, can I get a seconder, please? Councillor Young. Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair. I was going to ask a question, but it's been answered in relation to the Christmas period and with the stickers that are going to be placed in the bins informing residents of the GDA. So I welcome that, and also welcome the information that's been supplied in regards to the schedule for holiday arrangements. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Now, the following items will be taken in closed session. Items 11 to 15. Items 11 to 15 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act NI 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the Council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. Now, can I get a proposal and a seconder to go into closed session? Councillor Hart, opposed, and Councillor Campbell, second. Okay. Whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Waste contracts on the proposal of Councillor Campbell, seconded by Councillor Hart, it was agreed to approve the direct award contract as detailed in Appendix 1 of the officer's report. Item 12, business case for the procurement of public analysis services on the proposal of Councillor Taylor, seconded by Councillor Campbell, it was agreed to approve the business case to procure a public analyst for a period of 3 years starting from the 1st of April 2025. Item 13, business case for solar-powered bins. On the proposal of Councillor Young, seconded by Councillor Jackson, it was agreed to approve the business case to procure solar-powered compacting litter bins for the expansion across main towns and villages throughout the district. Item 14, R21 Joint Committee. In committee minutes of the 3rd of December 2024 and members' monthly bulletin of 30th of January 2025, on the proposal of Councillor Hart, seconded by Councillor Taylor, it was agreed to note the documents. Item 15, minutes of the Sustainability and Environment Working Group of the 18th of December 2024, on the proposal of Councillor Hart, seconded by Councillor Taylor, it was agreed to note the minutes. Thank you, and that's our meeting concluded. Thank you very much. Oh, just a while, I still have a little bit then. Yes. Items 16 and 17 are for noting, and can I get a proposal and a seconder? Proposed by Councillor Young and seconded by Councillor Fitt. Okay, thank you.